Will to Hebrews chapter 12, just briefly. I think it's good to remember, those of us who've known the Lord for a number of years, it's good to remember that we need to run the race by faith. And we are running a race, each one of us. And sometimes the race can get pretty long. And it can get pretty tiresome. I'll share in a few minutes, but it's been good years, just busy years in the last few years. So I just wanted to make three points here. We're just going to read a couple of verses. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And as I look at these verses, you're familiar with the book of Hebrews. You know that Jesus is the exact radiant expression of God Almighty. You know, it says in chapter 1 that in these last days the Father has spoken to us, unto us, by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. And then it begins to talk about the superiority of Christ in all realms. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to the high priestly system, the sacrificial system that the Israelites had, because he offered himself up once for all, only one sacrifice. And that's why in the Catholic country where I work, we don't have a crucifix and we don't have Christ hanging on a cross, because he's not there. He sat down, like it says here, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's made the ultimate sacrifice. There's no more any need for priests. And I often say that to people, whether they like to hear that or don't. We don't have a priest. We have one high priest, Jesus Christ the righteous. And but anyway, and here in the passage he says, just I love to think about the great crowd of witnesses that here it says in this version are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And of course I think of the cycling races in right now, the Vuelta de España just began yesterday. And I saw early this morning, I checked because they're 9 hours ahead of us. Nairo Quintana won the stage today, and that's pretty good for him, a Colombian. Anyway, but you know, as they go up those mountain paths, you know, all of a sudden you see them going up those, and you see all the people out there screaming and yelling and patting them on the fanny and encouraging them to ride harder. That's what we see here in chapter 12. We're in a race. And it's a race of endurance. It's a difficult race. But we have many, many people in heaven, I think, that are watching us. We have this great cloud of witnesses. And so the first thing we need to do if we're going to run this race well, it's very simple, we're not going to go, is to lay aside, like it says here, lay aside every weight. And the sin which so easily entangles us or clings to us. And if you walked with the Lord and you're trying to please him with your life, you know that sometimes unintentionally you botch it. Okay, you sin, you transgress, you go across the line, or you unintentionally forget to do the Lord's will, a sin of omission. But that is our proclivity, that's our propensity. We're propense to be that way. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews says that we need to lay aside every weight. And you can think of, biblically, Paul, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, he talks about that. He talks about running the race, and he doesn't want to be disqualified. And so what does he do? He exercises self-control, and he says no to himself. And I think that's something the church in the 21st century, we need to say, Christians, no to rich, no, yes to Jesus Christ. More and more and more in our lives, because the world just continues to conform us to their image. Anyway, I'm going to get to preaching too much here, so I better make this short. Know ye not that they which run in a race all run all, But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He's self-controlled. He exercises self-control. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one who beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it in subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, disqualified, eliminated. I don't get to the finish line. And that's Cindy and I. At this point in our ministry, we want to finish well. We want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be believers and put Him up first in everything, that He might have preeminence in everything. And so I would just exhort you this evening in your personal life, if there's anything that's weighing you down, anything holding you back from running this race, lay it aside. The second verb we see here is to let us run with patience. Agony is the idea. Sometimes even the Christian life is hard to run. Who of us has not had a setback? Who of us has not had something that's broken our heart happen? We're not immune from all the things that happen in this world. Sad things, tragedies, death of loved ones, maybe something of a family member of yours. And so we need to run with endurance, and that's what we're trying to do. Run with patience. Plod along. It's not a sprint. And the Bible talks over and over and over about all these kind of things, about running this race. And so I'd encourage you to set your mind on that and run, plod, step by step. Just keep going. Be faithful to God. The third verb we see in verse 2, he says this, looking under Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so it's fixing our eyes on Christ, looking unto him, making him the main focus of our lives. And remembering, like he says, and we're not going to talk about verse 3, but Jesus suffered a lot during his life. It wasn't easy. Not just the passion, but it all through, I think, just working with the disciples. Sometimes, like in Matthew chapter 17, you see him a little bit exasperated. And so much unbelief. Here he was, the Son of God, God incarnate in flesh, preaching and teaching and so much unbelief. So we need to fix our eyes on him because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He will get us there. We want to finish the race of faith. We want to fight the battle of faith as Paul talks to Timothy in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. We want to finish that race well. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm trying to do, and Cindy as well. And so in order for that to happen, we have to have our eyes on the Lord every day. Now, I start out every day. I try to, before my feet hit the floor, I just turn over my life to the Lord. And it's not some complicated prayer. It's just, oh, Lord, how much I need you today. By your grace, work in my life. Help me to love you more than I love myself. Help me to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. Things like that. Every day, try to do that. Anyway, that's enough about that. I just wanted to focus our minds on God's Word, because I think that's what will get us through. As you can see, this is a picture of Cindy and I. We live in Madrid, just 30 kilometers east of Madrid in a town called Alcalá de Henares. So Madrid, for some of you who are not familiar with the Iberian Peninsula, is just, here it is, the whole thing, Portugal over here, and Madrid is smack dab in the center of the Iberian Peninsula. The Spanish flag, Spain as a country, has always prided themselves in their golden century, the 1500s, when they ruled many places throughout the world. And they're very proud of that. And that's why they've got up there, plus ultra, to the regions beyond. We're ABWE missionaries. We don't talk a lot about our mission, but we're very thankful for our mission. We have a new president now. We're very thankful for the direction our mission is headed. We are church planners. When you think of the Browns, what we do is evangelism, discipleship. We talk to people that don't know Jesus Christ so that they can come to saving faith, and then we try to incorporate them into the church, and we disciple them. We teach them. We work with them. Alcalá de Henares is a city of about 200,000 people. Actually, the population's gone down a little bit in the last few years, but basically about that. The work is now official. It's called the Iglesia Evangélica Bautista de Alcalá de Henares. Approximately 35 to 45 people regularly attend the services, and a leadership transition process is underway from being led by myself to being led by a national church worker. I always like to share things about our family. Cindy and I have four children. Somebody asked me this morning, do you have any children? Yeah, we got four, but they're adults now. So we don't hang out too much. We don't see them. Here they are. And this was in 2018 in Chicago, actually. We have some grandchildren. Last 5 years, three grandchildren were born. We still haven't seen our third one. And she was born in April, and we were itching to get over in Hillsboro to see Joanna is her name. And so this is Rebecca. And then, sorry, there I am reading to Benjamin, the oldest of our grandchildren. And recently, I mentioned this morning, my mother passed away. She was a great mom, and I'll miss her a lot. But that things happen. And our family, we've had some problems in our family in different ways, but we still can have fun. And for the most part, all of them are seeking the Lord. They serve in their local churches. One in New York City, in Brooklyn, one in Chicago, one in Columbus, Ohio, and the other one's over here in Oregon. As you can see, in the past 5 years, our physical family has undergone some major changes, birth of grandchildren, divorce. Our youngest daughter recently went through a very sad thing. I don't want to go into it, but it's terrible. Anyway, death. Change can be difficult for your missionaries to handle, and oftentimes it causes us to take our eyes off Jesus Christ and think that we can solve the problems. And many times, even though your children might be nearby, the best thing you can do is pray. Pray to the great high priest, Jesus Christ. He can solve problems better than we can. And so as you think of us, pray that we would stay focused on the Lord and His calling, earnestly living and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, living it out in front of other people. Our goal is to put Him first in everything we do. There's Alcalá de Henares is a ciudad, patrimonio mundial. That means in the Spanish-speaking world, it's considered to be an important place culturally. It was the birthplace of Miguel de Cervantes, and there is Miguel de Cervantes there in the Plaza de Cervantes. Everything is Cervantes, Cervantes, Cervantes in Alcalá de Henares. And so we do open-air evangelism there every Thursday, close to that place. Here's Sancho Panza, this little fat guy on the left, and Don Quixote from Cervantes' work of Don Quixote. And this is his birthplace house, birthplace, anyway, where he was supposedly born. And there's the Plaza de Cervantes in the springtime. The trees are beginning to bloom. It's very beautiful. Many of you ladies would love it. There's lots of flowers hanging from the balconies and all that kind of stuff. But you're in a place where people need Christ. Very few people know the Lord. In our city of 200,000, maybe 500 to 1,000 know. And very few, I don't want to get too carried away, but not a lot of people walking closely to the Lord. So we know all the churches there. We know all the believers that are pretty close to the Lord. So it's a city with these long portico streets, sort of like the Portico de Solomon. It's like that. And some of these pillars would be from the Roman era. It's an old city. It's a medieval city. It once had boasted a prestigious university in Europe run by Cardinal Cisneros. And this is the University of Alcalá de Henares. And then also they have a big church in town. They have many churches in town, but this is one. It's called the Iglesia Magistral, where they teach. It's a teaching church where they teach men how to become priests. I want to say curas, priests. And they have a great problem in the Catholic Church because the attendance has declined. No one wants to be a priest, very few people. And so they have to recruit a lot of people from Africa and South America to be priests. So anyway, we know a few of those guys. If you come to Alcalá de Henares, there are many storks. And these storks, they go between the dump in the downtown. And so they're always up there. Many, many storks. I think there's over 300 storks in Alcalá de Henares. But just so you know, though it's a medieval city, there are modern portions. And Cindy and I live right here in this little place. And Elsie and Rachel and Sarah and Liz, they have all been in that house. And it's 7 meters wide by 7 meters deep. And you have to go up or down. But it works out very well, and we're very thankful for that place. That's where we live, and in Alcalá, in the new section. Now, I want to talk a little bit about our co-workers. We have, right now, we have a lot of co-workers in the work in Alcalá de Henares. You know, sometimes I pinch myself, who would want to work with us, you know? But these people, boy, God's brought some good people. Here's Miguel Angel and Rebecca. This is our national co-worker. He will become the pastor, Lord willing, in January, in early 2020, along in June or something. The plan is to, we've been working with him for the last 4 years, and the plan is to hand off the baton. We've been going like this for a long time, and now he's going to take it, and he's going to become the pastor of the church, and we will have to figure out what we're going to do. I think we'll continue to work there, but we'll see what's going to happen. But he's a good Bible teacher, and I want you to pray for him. Pray that God would keep him just like he is. He's from a small town in northern Spain close to Salamanca named Béjar. And very, very, very thankful for Miguel Angel. Cammie is still working with us. Some of you know Cammie McGraw. She's there. Adam and Emily work with us. They are teachers at a local Christian school nearby, but they help out in the church somewhat with the time they have. And recently we added Chris and Rose Duryea from Bellevue. They had come and participated in the ministry many years ago, and now they've come back to Spain as missionaries. And then recently, Callie Chenoweth has been helping Cindy with English as a second language classes, and she's been a real blessing. She thinks God wants her to be a missionary, so we're very thankful. And she's presently living in our house by herself as she teaches at the Christian school. The church, the Iglesia Evangelica Bautista, you see we have there out there, Centro Evangelico, because we use this small little 1,350 square feet. I don't want to say about the size of your platform here, but we use it for many activities. And we try to do a lot of things in there. And some of you have been there. We have three elders in our church now, three pastors, Miguel Angel, Adam, and myself. This is just a recent development. And we give direction to the believers in living life for Jesus Christ. We also have had been blessed with the addition of some, this is a pastor. He was a former pastor from the Canary Islands. He's from Venezuela. We have lots of people from South America. His name is Jorge Garcia. And he is one of, after we preach during the morning service, then we join in small groups and we discuss the sermon there with a series of questions that have been prepared ahead of time. And so Jorge is one of our colloquial teachers, and he's a blessing. Adam as well. And then Marcos. Marcos graduated from seminary a few years ago, Marcos and Priscilla, and he is also doing that. And I'm very thankful for what God is doing in Marcos' life. Pray for him. He's a good guy. Recently, like your youth group here, we go on hikes, and we do fun things, and we're up above Patones de Arriba on this day, and we're just hiking around. And we're not up that high, actually. But anyway, it looks cool. And we're just having a fun time there. Now we have a class for elementary age children. We've had it for quite a few years. But sometimes in the small little classroom we have there, there isn't a lot of room. Boy, we're just crammed in there, you know. So you can see these kids, a lot of them, some of them need the Lord. Almost some of them have come to know the Lord, but lots of them come from difficult family situations. And then with the youth group, they meet every Saturday. And then Nicole now teaches Sunday school. She and her family came from Peru a few years ago, and so she has grown. The ladies have taught her, and she's doing a good job teaching Sunday school. We're very thankful. She and her sister Natalie. And there's Natalie sometimes helps out taking care of in the kitchen area we have for the toddlers. And we have a place for them, too. And then we have people from Northern Africa, from places like Guinea Equatorial, Here's Antonia. Antonia has cancer, the tall one here right now. And we're praying for her. But she has really turned to the Lord and seeking the Lord. And then Trinity. And so we have people from six or seven nations represented in the congregation. And we have potlucks like you. Every church I've ever attended, people love to eat and spend time together and talk. And that's what they're doing there. Discipleship, like I had mentioned, Cindy and I do a lot of that. As I'm going through all of this, if anything comes to your mind, raise your hand and stop me. If you have a question, okay? Because I'm just sharing to you about what's been going on the last several years. Cindy's been working with these ladies, Rocio and Paki, for many years. And Rocio on the left has come to know Christ as her Savior, but Paki is still in the dark. She's totally clueless about her need for Christ. She doesn't see herself. I don't think she's convicted of her sin. And so we continue to pray for Paki. Now, Cindy works with people like Asunción and Marlene and others. Cindy has quite a few Bible studies with different ladies. This lady is, I think she's Peruvian. I can't remember now. And then I work with men like Marcos and Enzo Vicencio, a man from Venezuela, and trying to help them grow in the Lord in leadership training. And then also with Jorge, and then with Fabio, and then with Fernando. Now, Fernando is an interesting guy. Fernando came to know the Lord, or no, hasn't come to know the Lord yet, but he reads the Bible all the time now. And I would really appreciate it if you'd pray for Fernando. Here's a terrible picture of him. He's actually a Seventh Dan karate instructor. He makes his living teaching karate. He's quite high up in the Federation of Madrid. He goes to Bulgaria every summer. He teaches some of the national selection teams. But pray for this guy. I would love to see Fernando finally quit being like Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And I would like to see him make a decision for Christ. I remind him quite often, you know, you're not like me. You're not saved yet. You're a fan, maybe, because he's always telling me, boy, I've never seen, this stuff is so true. And I say, yeah, it is true. Yeah, because it's God, he's real, man. But he still hasn't accepted Christ as his Savior. Pray for him. Baptism, we had several baptisms these last 5 years. Kevin, the kid in the middle, Gianfranco, Alejandra, Natalie, and Nancy. And so people getting baptized, God adding to the flock there in Alcalá de Henares, he's very faithful to do that. And now I put these pictures in here just because I wanted to show you. Some of you remember years past, 2009, where this little group here we are. Some of those people no longer are part of the work. 2011, a little bit more. 2014, everybody wants to go on a picnic. Some of these people aren't saved. 2015, maybe a few more there. 2018, all of a sudden there's more people. All of a sudden there's quite a few people. And then 2018, at the end of the year, even more people. So God faithfully has been saving people and adding people to the body there. And we just continue to pray that we would faithfully serve him. But your church has had a part in that. Your church is helping these people to grow in their faith because you have missionaries there discipling and evangelizing these people. And there's people, every one of them has a story, and many. I look at several I know need the Lord right now. This guy up here, that guy right there, that guy right there. And they're blessed, they're good friends, but they need the Lord. And they love to worship Christ. This guy right here, man, he needs the Lord. So, anyway, your church has played a big part in that. Worship teams to lead the congregation praising the Lord here recently. You know, you guys sing well because you've been trained. Not, you know, in some places they don't sing so well. And so we've had to sort of begun to teach people how to sing properly. And so Michelle and Jorge, that's his daughter Michelle, and Marcos are teaching there, and Adam and Emily and Michelle sometimes. And that's been an addition to our church, and it's been helping us to sing to the Lord and make a joyful noise and a noise that sounds good. And so we're very, very thankful for that. Some of us, like me, don't sing so well. What do? We preach and teach God's words. That's what we do in Espanol. Todos los domingos, we're hablando Espanol. Okay? And sometimes some of my friends and the neighbors would say, well, do you guys speak Spanish? Well, yeah, we try. We do the best we can. But yes, we speak Spanish. And Miguel Angel, he preaches 50% of the time. He has for the last couple of years. After he got back from seminary, he's preaching 50% of the time. Very good Bible teacher. And very thankful for him. Working with families like Angel and Araceli, this man, Angel, they're in their pueblo in Peru. They had an earthquake. And their house fell down on top of them, and he won the lottery with Telepizza to come work in Spain. And so he was there 7 years without his family working, and trying to win him to the Lord, that guy. His wife, Araceli, his daughters, the two older daughters have come to the Lord. Shael, I want to say it in Spanish, hasn't come to know the Lord yet, I don't think. Maybe she has. But Angel, the dad, just keeps resisting. And the last time I talked to him just recently, I said to him, Angel, what would prevent you from opening your heart to Jesus Christ and asking him to come in and live in you? And he said, nothing. And so we sat there for a quiet bit of time, pretty quiet. And I said, you want to pray? And, well, so pray for him. Pray for Angel, is his name, Angel. I work. Trying to reach out to him. Fabio and Maribel had to help them get married. They've been living together for quite a few years, have a child, Gabriela, and all that, but finally had to help them get married. And so we're trying to do things like that. Disciple Christians, help them to live the life, the Christian life, the right way. There's other activities we get involved in, like seminars at our church. Here we're having a seminar on the Trinity. Mother-daughter tea. I should say the women's ministry is much greater than anything the men do. We have a breakfast once in a while, but not as many men show up. But here's a picture from back in 2016 and 2018. And I'm having troubles getting this thing to move forward. 2019. In many of these pictures, I'm not going to say, but these, for example, all these people in this picture are Venezolanos. They come from Venezuela. Venezuela is a mess. And so they fled their country, and they have European roots, some of them, and now they're living in Alcalá de Henares. But they're a great blessing to our church. And then there's family camp. Here we are out there rowing around. And I like family camp. And then we have a Valentine's banquet, and Julio Martinez, our speaker, he's down there at the end of the table. And so we do different things with a goal to reach out to unsaved people. Yes? You know, Spanish law, you're supposed to come into the country legally, but the joke is that, you know, just like in any country throughout the world, legal immigration is very difficult. Okay? They make it hard for people who legally apply. Some do. But most people just come in and stay. And then finally, in the case of the Romanians, beginning back in the 1995, a lot of those guys just got grandfathered in. And so many times they just end up getting granted citizenship. So you've got lots of foreigners. This guy's an Italiano from Rome. This guy was, he's an Italiano, he's an Italian también, but I mean also. But he grew up, well, he worked a lot in Venezuela and married Alejandra down there. Sabine is from Germany with her husband Javier there. She's recently saved and attends the church. But immigration is a problem. People just come and go all the time. It's sort of a soft place to enter. We do dedication, just things that you do. We dedicate the parents to the Lord, not the baby. There's a Bible Institute class in Toledo. I was just helping him out. It's a class on sex. SECTS. I'm speaking in Spanish. Sectas. It's cults, dangerous cults, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, things like that. And so I was just helping these students down there, teaching them a course, a module. And then also at the Cefovon, the seminary there in Madrid, or the Bible Institute there in Madrid, I help out in teaching some courses. Anyway, English teaching. My wife, I don't say enough about her. Cindy is an integral part of the ministry. She teaches a lot of English classes with one sole purpose, to glorify God, but also to get in contact with lots of unsaved people in our community who their greatest felt need is to learn how to speak English better. So she teaches conversational English, and she does a very good job. And so there's a number of activities. She does classes for the elementary age children, English class and VBS that some teams from this church have participated in, two now, I believe. And then one-on-one tutoring with people like Fernando and Antonio. Recently, I started working with this guy, Antonio. I was just trying to help him with English. But anyway, this is Cindy. And this is a typical picture. I've probably got 200 of these. Cindy teaching. She's a teacher. She's either teaching the Bible or teaching English or teaching something. And she teaches me a lot, too. We do a Christmas party she does for Jesus. Things like that. Activities for children, unsaved children. Now some of these children have grown. They're older now. Once in a while, we run into one of them in the barrio, and they're in junior high or high school. We can't always recognize everybody. Been doing it for too many years. A group from Ohio, a couple of young men from, I can't remember now. This group came from Oregon in 2018 to help us. There we are in downtown Alcalá for the VBS and the English camp. Other activities, like I said, one of the things I've been enjoying recently is downtown in the Plaza de Cervantes sharing our faith. And we have some really good co-workers from England, from Romania, from France, and from the United States, a couple of us. And just testifying to people about Jesus Christ. We've also been helping some workers from Venezuela who were missionaries sent out from Venezuela, actually from Panama, this couple, Nelson and Mildred, and Mildred's mom, Aura. They came with a shirt on their back, and they're trying to reach northern Africans. They had worked a couple of years down in Senegal and Equatorial Guinea, and we're trying to help them to be effective missionaries there. Now they're living up in Gijón, up in northern Spain. So people like that, trying to help them, trying to encourage them. It's tough. Life is tough there in Spain, and I'm not getting this thing to work. But we still reach out to our unsaved friends, people that we've worked with for many years. These guys, pray for them. Some of them have come to the Lord and others haven't. As you think of our work there in Spain, this is what I'd like you to pray about. Pray for the salvation of people like Angel. There's a guy, I think of the Eiffel Tower. His name is Eiffel. Okay, Javier, Diosdado, and Jorge, a couple of boys, junior high boys. Pray for godly men. We have many women in our church and not enough men. Pray for courage and boldness in evangelism. I mean, I'm just like you. Sometimes I shrink back from the opportunity, and I don't want to be that way. I want to wisely and winsomely speak of the Lord to others. And then prayer. Pray that we would be a praying church and that we would depend upon God, and our dependency would be evident because we're always praying. You know, rather than planning first, we pray and ask God, what plan do you want us to have? And then leadership transition, pray for Miguel Angel as he assumes the pastorate in 2020. And then for Cindy and I, spiritual vitality, been tired the last few years. Pray that God through his Spirit would revive our hearts daily through his word. Through the intake of his word, and pray that we would lead others by example and teaching in our group of missionaries and national workers and foreigners from different countries. We are the leaders, and so people look to us, and we want to lead in a godly way. We want to say the right things and do the right things and have the right attitudes and all the rest, and so pray for us as we work with those. Our goal now is to make the others a success. Courage and boldness in evangelism, we need God's help, just like the rest of the people in our church. You're ambassadors for Christ in Spain. And we take that role very seriously, and we want to preach to people to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Are there any questions? Sometimes I go too long, so I wear you guys out. Are there any questions about Spain or about... Don't everybody raise their hand. Yes. The Reina Valera. okay? A couple of guys. Well, the Reina, yeah, what was his name? And Cipriano Valera. Anyway, that version we've been using for years there. It's from the received text, but it's, it's in Spanish, so that's what we use, the 1960 version. Yeah, and it's a good version, it's a good translation, and it's been used many years. Yes?
A couple years back, there was a big brouhaha. It almost looked like one of the principals or states or whatever you call it, Barcelona, was going to break apart. And
yeah.
There was all brouhaha. How did that affect you guys, or didn't, or how did that affect the country?
It didn't affect us at all, except that we're all sort of angry, you know, a little bit upset about it. But, I mean, the guys that live in Madrid. Because these guys, it's just be like here in the States, if one of the states decided to secede unilaterally, we're no longer going to be a part of the United States. We don't want to be a part. And that's a hard thing. That's called secession. And a lot of people don't like that. Well, yeah, you can secede, but you can't take your cities with you or your country or your ground or anything. And so that's still going on. The man who instigated, actually, it's been going on for years, but anyway, he fled he lives in Belgium now. His name is Puigdemont, and that's still going on. There's a fight in the court. They basically took, I think, 9 or 10 leaders of that community, we call them that instead of provinces, and they put them in prison. I mean, what do you do with people that, it's white-collar crime. They warned them. They applied what we have an article in our Constitution, Article 155, to stop them from doing that. They basically said no, and so finally they put them in prison. You know, they had and I don't know what's going to happen. It's an ongoing thing. Another question. Yeah. I don't speak enough about that. Roman Catholicism is the major religion in Spain. Few people attend Mass. Few people. Less than 5%, 5 to 10%. Mostly people my age and older. And so, but most Spaniards would still identify themselves culturally as Roman Catholic. Now, when you begin to dig down, and I say this every time I'm here underneath the surface, start asking them questions. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you think that God is triune? Well, what are you talking about? No, I don't believe that. That's because they never read the Bible. And most people in Spain have never seriously, as adults or even young people, read the Bible. Now, there are some exceptions, but not too many. And so that's what we're up against, is secularism, people that have turned their back on God, and so they're open to all sorts of things. In fact, I would say, this happens to me, you're sharing your faith, you're trying to share with somebody, and they treat you like you're worse than maybe somebody who's going to suck their blood or something, you know. They would be much more inclined to talk to a medium or a witch or somebody like that than us. They're sort of like scared of us, okay. And they lump us in with the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. So it makes it very difficult. So you just pray a lot and try to be winsome and speak the truth. Another question. Yes? Ministry? No, very rarely. And we're very thankful for that. In Alcalá de Henares, I think, unfortunately, it's because we don't make a big enough splash. If we made more of a splash, if we had more believers and there was more, I think maybe the government would do something. But right now in Alcalá de Henares, we have a very liberal government. And they tend to just not pay much attention to us. The guy who takes the heat in Alcalá de Henares is the archbishop. Because he speaks openly about homosexuality, he doesn't hate homosexuals. He just says it's a sin. Like adultery is a sin. Fornication's a sin. And boy, they crucify that man. He's a good, I think he's a, you know, at least I agree with him on some things. Not on how to go to heaven, but on that issue, I agree with him. But he takes a lot of heat. Yeah. The Muslim influence in Spain, well, it's growing. Now, Cindy has a couple of students. How many students do you have? 3 or 4 now? In her English classes. You know, kids from Morocco principally. Lots of them have come up if they can, because Morocco is not a great place to live if you've been down there. And so they'd rather live in Spain. And they get help from the government. And I think in certain places, like up in Catalonia, in Barcelona, there's quite a community of, we might say, more radical Muslims. And then in downtown Madrid as well, and there's certain teaching mosques, mezquitas. And it's a problem. About every year and a half, 2 years, they round up about 10 or 12 of them because they've caught them recruiting for the wars in Syria and Afghanistan and places like that. So it's a growing problem.
Was it Spain where they
bombed
the train?
Yeah, it was Spain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in 2003, 192 people lost their life. And actually, the guys who did that job left. They pulled up their cars in Alcalá de Henares and got on the train and went into Madrid. And then they would stop and leave a bomb and go. And yeah, so it all started right there. Yeah.
What part of the United States has a climate that's similar to where you live in Madrid?
I always think of like Redding, California, Red Bluff, that area. You know about that latitude, longitude? I'm sort of ignorant about these things. I got to look at the map. Anyway, I think it's about like it's a dry climate in the center part of Spain. It's hot in the summer, as some members of your teams will attest. I can remember Zachary and Kyle. Yeah, those poor boys. They were sleeping upstairs in the attic. Oh man, it was hot. But yeah, it can be hot in the summer. It's like Richland, sort of. Another question. Yeah. Lisa. Hi.
You said that the government's giving you an issue because you aren't maybe making such a dent right now. But it's not illegal. Is it illegal to proselytize?
No. No, no, no. No. There's nothing illegal about speaking of your faith or giving out Bibles or even, like I say, you know, we have open-air evangelism downtown, and it used to be they would hassle us about giving out tracts, saying that people would throw them down to the ground and they were littering up the city and all that. But now they're not doing anything. So which we're greatly thankful for, because we get enough abuse from some of the other people that come around. Okay, yes, sir. You just renew it. We have a permanent visa. It's permanent, but permanent for 5 years. And then you go back and renew it. Okay. Yeah, and they just do it. I've done it so many times. They just do it online, and you get an appointment, then you go out to a place on the west side of Madrid. But yeah, it seems pretty easy, and they haven't limited any of us or do anything like that. If there's no more questions, I think I'll close in prayer. And feel free. Now, I have some prayer cards here, and I was trying to give them out to you guys this morning. I don't do this very well. And then I have a sheet here that says Temple Baptist Church, and no one signed up on the 25th of August, 2019. So if you would like to receive our prayer letter, you don't have to do that. But if you pray, put your name, your email address here on this piece of paper, and I'll put it on the back there. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love the world. You love this whole planet and people in different countries. And we thank you so much, God, for your plan of sending missionaries out to different places in the world to preach the gospel and to love Jesus Christ and live for you and establish Bible institutes and hospitals and all these things so that others can come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the small part we play. We pray for the church here, Temple Baptist Church. We pray that you continue to bless the leaders here, guide them and strengthen them, give them good health, bless them in every way, Lord. And then also the brethren, the body here, the family at Temple Baptist Church, we pray you'd help them to grow, each one. Those who are joining the church, those who are recently baptized, help them to grow in their faith in Jesus Christ and walk faithfully with you here in this tri-city area so that more and more people can come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.